This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
Bar.
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rip. All right, we're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
I'm hoping she a rider. When it's said and done, she spit it up and swallow now. I ain't got a drip about the niggas who like her. But me and mommy know who can really make her go. When I
poker face.
I make a say. When I
Hey, welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy J.Dot Flam, representing the White Pants Society. And I must start by thanking you first and foremost for taking whatever time out of your day to come chill with me, listen to my random ramblings, whatever it is we do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly, greatly appreciate that. Man, been a rough week. Had to start with that clip because I was looking for like Ohio artist so I could rep my guest today. And then, you know, when I realized, I didn't even know Kid Cudi was from Ohio, but when I realized he was all from Ohio, I knew exactly which one I wanted to play. And also, I like cutting shit off right before Kanye has anything to say. That's just like a new fun thing for me these days. So as soon as I picked that clip, like right before he's getting ready to start his verse, so I could just fade him out and be like, nah, homie, shut the fuck up. But regardless, I do have a special episode. This is another in the series of the Plugs I Met series that I'm doing. So I have a special guest with me here today. But before we get into that, let me do the Chef Elise report to get that out the way. Hate to put it that way, but it is what it is.
Out of Pepe.
You know I am. Yeah, like I said, rough week. I've been dealing with ice Armageddon or whatever in Austin this week. So not a whole lot with my daughter, but I did get a random like voice message from her earlier today that said that she was wrestling a bear or something. I think it was like a stuffed bear, but whatever. It was just real random. She was like, hey, Dad, I'm wrestling a bear. I hope that's all right with you. Something like that. I was like, okay. You know, random as hell. I feel like I should have responded like, man, do I need to come help the bear? But I knew she wouldn't get the reference. So I was like, fuck it, never mind. But anyway, this is another thing that happened. And this is a topic for another episode. I'm not going to do that this week. But I had the unfortunate pleasure of witnessing my daughter get her hair straightened with a hot comb for the first time this week. And she was fucking terrified. And it makes sense to me. I have no idea how I would deal with somebody putting a hot anything near my head and I can't see what you're doing. Like I don't get it. So I don't know how y'all women do it. I don't know why you do it. It was traumatic for me to watch it. I don't know how other black dads feel about it or exactly what it is we need to discuss about this, but I feel like we do need to talk about it. So I got that plan for sometime in the future. That'll be for some other time though, but just keep that in your thoughts. But that's my Chef Elise report for this week.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am. Yeah, my guest today is a very important guest. Like I said, I'm doing this, the Plugs I Met series, and I consider him one of the plugs that I've met. He's the host of the What the Shit podcast. He was one of the organizers of the March to the Record Books, one of the dopest things that I've ever had the honor of being a part of. He's a man of a million hoodies. I got another professional shit talker and shit dodger, and we'll get to that. Ohio's own, my man DC, what's good with you, brother?
What's going on?
Man, how's life treating you these days?
Cold, man. I'm in Ohio. Like, it's fucking, it's at least 10 degrees above what it's supposed to be, but 50 below what it should be.
I got you. Yeah, I feel like fucked up for how I've felt for the last 4 days, because I know people in other parts of the country probably experience that all the time. But I don't know, being without power and like just, I think it got down to like low 40s, maybe high 30s in my apartment. It was below freezing outside, but it was damn near freezing in my apartment for like 4 days. And that's 70 degrees today. So Right, fuck Austin. I love it, but fuck it. I got to start off with this. I got to give you props for this because this was some amazing shit to me. I got to give you props for dodging that dog shit in your yard that day. I got this sit-in on your 100th episode a few weeks ago, and I saw the footage. Man, and I know as like a fellow 40-plus individual, like them quick twitch muscle movements, like that's a business decision. You got to decide in that moment, like, are you cool with risking an injury or what, you know, what you going to do right now? So for you to have pulled that off and have the footage to prove it, that's some amazing shit, man. Hats off to you.
Because if not, they wouldn't believe me. So, to be honest, you can't talk shit and fall into shit. Like, you can't. Exactly. It just don't work. You can't be a professional shit talker if shit don't fall off you. So, that's first and foremost. You can't talk shit to me and not expect to get it back. But, yeah, man, like, as I was falling, they say, like, the shit happened in slow motion. And I was like, as I was turning, I was like, damn. I know there's shit here. There's mud here. And there's also my Red Bull one way, my glasses the other. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. Nobody's outside. Do I fall in this shit and call off work? Or do I make a decision to just say, fuck it. As I'm falling, I'm going to try to figure out a way to fall without falling.
Yeah.
And you don't realize how quick you got to make that fucking split decision in midair.
Yeah. See, it's weird for me because I feel like I would have both like sprained something and then still fallen into shit, and it just been like a lose-lose situation for me. I don't know how I would have pulled it off, like, but it was really like a Matrix moment for you.
I know. Well, it kind of, because you know I play sports.
Okay.
So it was kind of like my muscles, they owe this shit, but they still remembered a few moves to get me out of something. So you know what I'm saying? So it was like slow motion. Somehow I was able to turn, you know, flip real quick like a skater and then put my hands down and not get no shit. But it wasn't easy. And I was hurting the rest of that day.
Yeah,
but I didn't fall in shit, so.
That's the most important part. I do like how you already had it set in your mind. Like, if I do happen to fall in this shit, that's it for the day. Day is over. Like,
you don't fall in shit, dog shit, at 7:30 in the morning and then go have a productive day. Like, that's it.
That's it.
You falling shit, it's over. Baby shit, dog shit, your own shit.
That should be on the list of like approved excuses. You should be able to call your boss and be like, man, I fell in shit.
Hey, you boss, know? I fell in some dog shit. I ain't gonna be in today. Like, I got you, tell little Johnny to cover me.
Just let me know how many days you need, brother. That's some fucked up.
And yeah. Then you gotta take two. One for the embarrassment, and two just because you fell in dog shit. So why not?
Yeah, you gotta go back in the house and you gotta do like the awkward trying to get the clothes off without them touching anything else type shit.
And, yeah.
Nah, it's crazy.
Not cool.
Not cool at all.
But in transparency, I showed the video because I don't want people to think I talk shit, but I can't take it.
Hey, man, that's a highlight film to me. Like, it's nothing embarrassing about that. If you 40 plus and you pulled off a move like that, that's your mixtape right there.
I was really just showing off because my dude fell and he hit the Luther Vandross pose and just was laying there. But me, you know, I got up and brushed my shit off, picked my glasses up, my Red Bull, cracked that son of a bitch open and walked on.
There we go. There we go. Man, like I said when I introduced you, you are the host of the What the Shit podcast. I wanted to ask you, like, what's the story behind that show and what made you decide to do it live?
Oh man, this show's a legend that never was supposed to be made. So To really tell this story, I got to kind of take everybody back to 2020.
All right, let's go back.
April, you know what I mean? Pandemic just hit. I was in school for TV and radio broadcasting. But they sent everybody home. We was doing virtual classes, bunch of bullshit. And in that time period, my dad passed away in April. So I was kind of lost going through school, all this Zoom meetings and shit. I was zoomed out. I tapped out. I couldn't think straight, couldn't focus, couldn't create. So my dude was like, hey man, I see you got a lot going on. I'm starting my own podcast. Why don't you come on and start with me? You know what I mean? So started with him. It was cool, but he does like, you know, the blur culture, you know, cosplay, yeah, comic books, video games, you know. the Nerdyverse, which is cool because I met a lot of dope people in that universe, but that ain't really me to my core.
Yeah.
I'm all about having fun, talking shit, you know what I'm saying, meeting dope people. So I was like, you know what? I want to do my own shit. So I had a show in mind, actually, what the shit was actually not even what it was supposed to be. I had the show called Bro, Brothers Reaching Out.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be me and a bunch of my dudes that I, you know, knew forever. But, you know, we about to start something with somebody. Yeah. It's hit or miss on whether they for real as you is. So come time, I'm like, all right, y'all ready to do this? Crickets. I'm like, well, fuck. Okay, it's pivot. Because me, I'm a pivot. I said I'm going to do it. I got to do it. So I put my feet to the fire. I'm driving, you know, deliver medical equipment. I'm trying to think of a name. I'm talking to my wife on the phone. And dude cut me off. And I was like, what the shit? And I was like, damn. She was like, you do say that a lot. I was like, you know what? I do. And that's the name of the show.
Damn.
And that's how what the shit was born. No lie. Like, it's a saying that I used to say around my house in many different inflections, depending on how either excited or pissed I was.
Right, right.
But it's something that I was saying. So then I recruited my dude, Chris, who brought me on his show. My dude, Courtney, started with me, and we had one other. So we actually started with four people. And first season was trash. I mean, we was on Zoom. First, we started recording it, and then it just looked like crap. Like, my logo was just like me with sunglasses on and a piece of tape over my mouth. Like, this was the worst thing in history. Like, we burned that. All records that have been burned. But I stuck with it.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't buy a guest the first season. I think we had three guests the first season. It was like, no, four or five. And it was people we already knew.
Yeah.
So it was like people I knew from school or people we had just come across. Dude Stefan Johnson, he's a, I want to say famous voiceover artist now, but at the time, you know, he was still doing his thing, but he blew up since then. But he was one of our guests on the season finale. I had a network we enjoyed called Black Gamut, which didn't last long. But we had the co-host, we had the owner on there. And a rapper from Cleveland called Rex Red. So them was our four guests. And second season rolled around, picking up steam, everything's good. By the third season, people was beating down our door.
Right.
And it came from a PR firm in Toronto called Kick Up Your Heels Entertainment.
Okay.
They brought us like half their roster. Nitty Green from the group Riff. They were in the movie. The movie Lean On Me is based on them.
Okay.
The bathroom scene really happened. That shit really happened. So dude was telling us that story. We had Planet 12 Law. He's a musician. He's hung with Lionel Richie. I mean, you name him. He's Amy Winehouse. Telling us all these dope stories. And then we kind of pivoted into bringing other podcasters on. Because the one thing I was told when I first started, podcasters send podcasts with other podcasters. And that shit always stuck with me. Because it's like, those are the people that are, you know, in the same lane, you know what I mean? Has the same plight, so we all know what's going on. So telling stories and exchanging shows should be the thing. It's like, no, because you don't want to, their fans are their fans and your fans are your fans and you should keep it that way. And I was like, nigga, I don't have a fan, nigga. My mom don't even listen to this. Well, at the time she didn't, but like I said, fast forward now is just, I mean, better. I mean, in 2 years, going on three in July, I've probably done more than some people have in like a 5-year career.
Yeah.
But it's all just because I've researched on my own. I don't sleep. Somebody asked me to come on this show. I'm like, fuck it. Why not? So I'm getting exposed. And I just found different methods that work for me and my show and the brand that I was trying to build. So I was able to, cash that in into a couple different network things that's going on. Shout out to Opulence Radio, who helped my sponsor who put together the million March of the Record book. And then just recently, Channel 82 came along. So in July, we're going on to Roku.
Nice. Dope. Super dope. Man, it's crazy because, like, so the, what is TWS? So originally it stood for, what is that white shit? And it was almost the same situation. Like, I was working with, you know, a bunch of different ethnicities. I won't say just white people. It was everybody there. And I had an office and we had some donuts or whatever. They was on the tray. We had finished donuts and one of my white friends came in and he was like, man, what's that white shit on the tray? Because I guess it looked like something from like a, you know, something about Mary or something. Okay, it was just a tray with some, now it was the glaze. So it was like, yeah, what's that white shit on the tray? And I was, as soon as he said it, I'm like, man, you know what? I went and registered the domain the same day and was like, man, I'm going to do something with that. And then I started to think that maybe that white shit isn't that marketable. So we tried to come up with something else to use the initials for. And that's where we got the White Pants Society from. But yeah, it was the same thing. It was going to be a bunch of us. We was going to sit down and, you know, had this cultural exchange every week. And then, you know, yeah, like you said, you know, one of the most important lessons I learned early on was, if it's your baby, you can't expect anybody else to care about it as much as you do. Mm-hmm. And so all the people that was like gung ho and we going to do this and we mobbed up, you know, as soon as it was time to push the button,
disappear,
gone. And but yeah, my mom doesn't listen to my, the only shows my mom hears of mine is some, cause somebody got to be out there snitching. But anytime I say something crazy about her, that's the show she heard. And I get the phone call. Like, I think I called her the biggest racist I know one day. And I got the phone call. And I said, you know, I'm like, I kind of stand behind it, but I, you know, I shouldn't have aired you out in public like that.
Right. My mom listens, but my mom is partially blind. So she tries to watch, which I don't understand. it's an oxymoron. That's like being blind and trying to put headphones on. Like, what? Right. Or deaf. Sorry, deaf. Shit. I'm blind. It's like being deaf and putting on headphones. Like, it just, you're not going to hear anything. So my mom tries to watch, which I appreciate because, of, like I said, the first three seasons, she didn't hear it. But you said something that was important because, like, nobody understands your baby.
Yeah.
So that's why people be asking me, like, oh, well, you know, you're big enough. You can hand it off and let somebody else do, you know, the day-to-day and this and that. I'm like, nope. Because I don't want nobody editing my shit.
Yeah.
Because they're not gonna, what they think is funny ain't what I think is funny. Yeah, I mean, like, to get where I'm at, I took some risk on some content, some clips. I was like, I don't know if this gonna work, but I find it funny.
Yeah,
and the people liked it. But you can't let nobody else, because, like, I have co-hosts, but I don't get their input on anything.
Yeah,
like, no guests, no subjects, nothing. I just tell them to show up and record and be ready. Whatever gonna happen is gonna happen. And you asked me about the live version. So I was doing it recorded on Zoom. And then I've always been big on late night TV.
Okay.
Because, of course, I'm always up. So I'm watching late night TV. Letterman, Arsenio Hall, you know, even like the Daily Show with Trevor Noah and Jon Stewart. So it was a lot of those live aspects that I really liked. And I've always been in big on, like, I wouldn't say production value, but more just like showmanship.
Yeah.
So that's what got me live. Cause I was like, you can't fake live. Like, I don't care. Like, a lot of people be in my inbox like, oh yeah, you know, I could talk about this and that, you know, yeah, I'm ready, whatever. I was like, are you sure? Because one, we have no sensors. Two, we have no filters. And three, you can't fake it.
Right.
It's real talk with real people. And I tell you, send a disclaimer. When you see it on my show, it's real conversations with real people, real conversations. You can't fake it. So a lot of people come on and think that they're going to just bullshit their way through an interview or whatever. We're going to call you out on it. You're not about to come lie to the people that listen to us. If I can't lie to them, why would I let somebody else come on to a lie?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, live is something that, you know, I haven't mastered. I don't even try to do it. I think I've done like one live episode. I think that was when I hit my 100th. And I don't know. Maybe one day in the future I'll try it again, but probably not.
I don't think I've mastered it. I've just found something that works for me.
Yeah.
You know, playing clips and just really making sure. I learned everything about producing a podcast live. YouTube University and trial and error. Like I said, the first two seasons of live, it was shaky like a hooker in church, bro. It was like, it wasn't pretty. I was on a restream, you know, trying the background, you know, virtual background was trash. Sound was a little off. But over time of learning and just making mistakes and learning from those mistakes and just making sure that every time I do a show, it was better than the last.
Yeah.
That's my only goal. Make every show better than the last and make sure that people see the maturation, the growth in, you know, my responsibility as a podcast producer and a host. Because I used to produce a podcast on the side, but I think it's defunct. I'm not sure what happened to it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I used to produce, so that also gave me a chance to sit behind the scenes and not be on the camera, not have to worry about talking,
right?
Just strictly focus on producing the best podcast. And it was a great time to learn.
I think that's important for people to hear, because you know, like, you know, a lot of people don't understand, nobody's good at anything the first time. Like, you know, you had this idea. That's probably what's keeping me from doing more video and live content, because I have this grand idea in my head of what I want it to be. And if I don't feel like I can, you know, I can meet that expectation I have in my head of what I want it to be, then I don't do it at all. But kind of the way is to just do it at whatever level you can at the moment, and then just make sure the next time you do it, it's a little bit better. And the next time you do it, it's a little bit better. And you'll eventually get, or maybe you'll never reach, you know, that ideal you had in your head, but you'll get to something dope, you know, somewhere along the way.
A lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah. Now it's a hard lesson to learn. Like, you gotta just start somewhere and do it.
Somebody asked me, it's like, so you just turn on the mic and just go, right? I'm like, you have no idea what it takes to do a podcast then. Cause if you think you just turn on the mic or turn on the camera and magic happens,
right,
you are listening to somebody who's been doing it for like 20 years. When you start now, there's going to be more errors and trials than you have perfection. Like, I don't even strive for perfection. Like I said, I just strive to make each show better than the last. So you just got to take baby steps sometimes. But first you got to jump off the porch, then you take the baby steps, because some people just, I don't know, got this weird thing that success is just going to happen overnight. Like, it's not going to happen.
Nah. But I want to pivot from that into the March for the Record Books. Like, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is, like, I admire people that can, like, think big and then not let the fact that it hasn't been done, like, block you from attempting to do it. I mean, that's pretty much what, like, breaking a record is. You're looking at something that hasn't been done and saying, I think I could do it. Like, where does that mindset, you know, in you come from? Like, not only are these things possible, but I could probably pull it off, and let's give it a shot.
My overactive imagination and my stupidity to think big. I don't see like small, like, details. I'm always looking at the big picture.
Yeah.
Which can be a gift and a curse at the same time. But then if you don't try, how are you going to know if you're going to make it?
Right.
Like, too many times I had people tell me, like, oh, well, that's you. You dreaming now. But that's what all goals are. It's just a dream that some are achievable, some aren't. But you never know which one isn't until you try. So trying to break a record, it was nervous. I ain't gonna lie, it was a bit scary, because I was like, I don't know how this is gonna work. But again, you never know until you try. So I'm never gonna throw an idea and be like, nah, I don't think we can do that. I think we can do anything. It just, like I said, if you get some dope people and y'all hit a good stride, anything is possible. But it's just, I don't know, I'm not afraid to try.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing I've learned in life. You get one chance at some things, maybe two. But if you don't take that first chance, that second chance might be 10 years down the road. So I'm taking every opportunity put in front of me. If it don't work, it don't work. But at least I can say I could try.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in Akron, Ohio. So being on Pandora, something not a lot of people could say they did. You know, hitting iHeart was not a lot of things that some people could say they can did. You know, so being able to say I did it, or at least attempt it, it's not a flex, it's just I tried. So you can't fault somebody who tried.
Yeah.
It's the people who don't should be, you know, get looked at the worst, because I've had people say, well, you tried, but you failed. Well, did you try? No, not at all. Okay, so how are you better than me?
Right.
Like, you haven't even attempted to do it. I tried, I failed, whatever. But I learned the lesson, so next time I do it, I'm here.
Right, that's the important part. Like, you know, you try, you fail, but now you know a little bit more about it than you knew before you tried it the first time. So if you ever do go back, you're not starting from ground zero. You know, you already got a foundation to build on and maybe, you know, make a better attempt. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard getting past that fear. Like, I think Will Smith said it. I'm pretty sure it's not his quote, but he said, like, you know, everything you've ever wanted in life is on the other side of fear. And it's like, I'm trying to, like, take that to heart and just, like, make these moves and just do shit and just...
You know, the quote that gets me through, and I'll be like, I don't know if I should do that. They might hit me or this and that. I tell myself they crucified Jesus. What they going to do to my black ass?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I heard an old dude say that when I was younger, and it did make sense to me then. But the older I got, I was like, if Jesus was holy, and not to get religious on people, but you know what I'm saying? He was above everybody. And they still threw stones at him, called him all weird stuff, and you know, all this. What they going to do to me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm no better than Jesus, so if they did it to him, they're going to do it to me for sure. But I ain't going to let that stop me from doing what I got to do.
Yeah, I'm saying that to people all the time these days. Because my mom used to say that, you know, sort of, you know, a little bit different. She used to just say, like, Jesus Christ was perfect and they crucified him. So, yeah, like, what chance do you got? You know, you think they're not going to say something about you? You think you're not going to experience some hardship? You ain't perfect. I didn't think it was perfect. They crucified. But man, like, the reason I'm doing this series, The Plugs I Met, is because for me, like, 99% of shit that people are talking about these days is annoying to me. Like, I find myself annoyed on, like, a daily basis. Like, I don't relate to a lot of stuff, or I flat out don't understand it. I feel like we give too much energy and attention to shit that we don't like, and then we wonder why we see so much of it, you know? So I decided, like, I'm gonna stop complaining about what it is I see that I don't want to see, and just, like, be a part of producing stuff that I want to see. So I'm trying to do this to, you know, talk to people that I know that are doing, like, dope things, and not only doing dope things, but doing them in a way that, like, purposefully creates opportunities for others, you know, opportunities that I myself have benefited from. So, you know, on the March to the Record Book thing, like you could have tried to break that record yourself. You could have handpicked your homies and, like, decided who you was going to include and roll that way. You could have opened it up but charged people to be a part of it, but you chose none of those. You decided to open it up, make it a free opportunity for everyone to get some exposure and some networking. And then on top of that, you spent, like, the majority of the 48 hours, like, playing the back and just, like, facilitating the conversation and creating the environment that, you know, like, turned into, like, a family barbecue picnic type thing. I wanted to talk to you about, like, where does that part of your personality come from? Like, not only doing the work that it takes to be successful, but, you know, being willing to and almost like, you know, wanting to take as many dope people as you can along with you and for free.
People don't notice, but I'm really humble. Like,
we know.
No, like, seriously, because I talk a lot of shit now, you know, I brag and this and that. But when it comes down to it, like, when I started this, I played the background. Like, I was my one co-host. He was the, you know, the voice. The other one was the youth. Me, I was just happy to be there. So, you know, I kind of played the background. So I'm used to deferring. Like, you know, I know I can take my shots and score every time, but I can't win like that every game.
Gosh.
So the March to the Record Book was an opportunity for three things. One, to get exposure for an event that I'm doing in July. Two, to let people see that I know some dope-ass people. And three, for those dope-ass people to be seen by other people, you know, other than the ones that always watch them. Like, And those things you just brought up all was asked to me all the time while I was trying to get people to sign up. Like when I first got the word, I was like, okay, so I got to do 48 hours by myself. She's like, no, we can get other people in. I said, cool. We just going to open it up and whoever sign up. I didn't want to handpick people because I don't play favorites. It's easy to get people to come on that I know, but that don't seem fair. Because if you see me rocking with them all the time and now you see him on the march, it just looked like the fix is in. It's like, oh, he just, pulling his friends in. It's like Adam Sandler. Like every Adam Sandler movie, you see all his friends.
Right.
Fact. Like after a while, we know it's going to be David Spade, Kevin, whatever his name is, Kevin James, Chris Rock, Rob Schneider. Like you see the usual suspects. And to me, that just, it's cool because, yeah, you taking your friends with you. But I want to give other people's opportunity. Like it's big to me to have dope people be seen. Like, I don't know if people understand that when I say that. I want to see everybody win. And the opportunity for the March of the Record Book, yeah, we could have charged, but why?
Yeah.
Like, why would I charge you for an opportunity for you to be exposed? You know what I mean? To me, that's predatory. I'm not down with that. And then, like I said, handpicking people, I know I couldn't play favorites, so I wanted to have everybody equally get a chance to get their shine on. So that's how it all came about.
You know, it's super appreciated, man. I know I saw you after the event, so I don't want to take you back to like just, you know, I know how you get when too many people just like, oh, DC is the greatest. But now it's super appreciated because...
Yeah, it's super weird, man. Like, I've been doing this for 2 years, and the deeper I get into this game, it just feels weird that people are like, oh, man, there go DC, like, or ain't you the host of what the shit? And then after the March of the Record Books, I was going through people's lives just, like, chilling in the comment. I wasn't even saying nothing.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, there go what the shit, man. Y'all got to stop, man, and get them, like, stopping they shit what they was doing. It's just like... Make sure y'all get him praise, man. DC, man, they did this. And I'm like, dog, don't stop your show for me. That just feels weird. Like, I'm still not to appreciating that. Like, I appreciate it, but at the same time, it just, like, it still feels weird. Like my dude was in a full monologue, in the middle of a monologue. And I popped in. He's like, oh, yeah, hold on, man, hold on. They go, what the shit? And I'm just like, damn. Bro, you ain't got to do that. Don't do that for me. Like, just continue to do what you're doing, man, and... Thank you. But it still feel weird. Like the homie Smash was on Big Smash. Bet the House. Was on the live with some other people. And they was like, oh, yeah, they go, what the shit? And he was like trying to take credit. And they was like, nah, nigga, shut that shit up, nigga. That's what the shit, nigga. You ain't got nothing to do with that. And I'm just like, I appreciate it, man, but. All that just feels weird. I'm still trying to navigate the, I guess, appreciation waters.
I think it's important for people to see, like, you get that appreciation. People need to know that there is a benefit to doing business that way and treating people that way. Because, I mean, it was big. Not only did you do it and, you know, you allow people who may or may not have, you know, had access to that platform to have access to it. But then, like, you seemed genuinely... you know, happy for people that, you know, that you saw take a step up in whatever it is they were doing. Like you shouted me out a couple times. It's like, we got Flan off the porch. Like he out here doing things. You talked about Draymond. Like you seem to really take like some pride in like, in seeing people, you know, flourish that way. And so that's big to me. And I want to do this series so that other people can see if you operate this way, you do business this way, you treat people this way. Like your flowers are coming. Like, you know, it's, you know, there's a benefit to being this kind of person.
Yeah. I am genuinely happy. Like, I get energized off seeing people happy. You know what I mean? Like, and winning. And like people who, you know, come out their shell, because I know how that feels. So like I see people come out their shell and they actually, you know, doing something that they really want to do, they just need to get that fair out their way. I encourage that because everybody needs encouragement. Like, you know what I mean? Regardless of how you think you, how big you are, you know, there's always somebody who needs encouragement, who doesn't feel as confident as I do. So if I can help instill some confidence in them, that it's a good feeling. You know, if you put a batter in somebody's back and they go 110% and surpass even their own expectations, that's a good feeling. Like, for me, I can win, you know what I mean, doing what I want to do and get there. But to see other people get there with me and, you know, take what's going on around them and actually be great as they want to be, they just don't know if they got it in them, but they got it in them, it's a dope feeling. Like, and if everybody just help each other out, it'd be easier. Like, I don't get it.
It's big because, yeah, right, this podcasting business is not always easy to come by, that, you know, some encouragement or something. You know, we all got like the 400 or 500 Facebook friends, and you be looking at your downloads like some shit ain't adding up. Like, how I got 500 friends? Yeah. These numbers don't look like it. And then when you get, like, when you get that, you know, that genuine love or that encouragement from somebody who don't know you, who got no reason to, you know, to fuck with you other than, you know, they just like supporting people, it means a lot. I got to ask you this too, because I met you on the All on the Table podcast with Raw Sass, and I got to admit, like, the first time I saw your name, I just, you know, said I'm from the DMV, and when I saw DC, I was like, oh shit, you must be from the area. So, like, the conversation was going, and even your accent, like, don't give it away. And then when I found out you was from Ohio, I was like, oh shit, like, I legit thought you was, you know, from the area or something. And like, Ohio, I've only been to Sandusky. I've been there for, like, work. And so the only thing I know about Ohio at all is that sawmills stink. It's horrible. Like, I never want to go back to Sandusky.
Yeah, you ain't missing much. Anybody who ain't from Ohio, don't come unless you got a good reason. I mean, come in July. But other than that, you're not missing much. Ohio is, like, I was born here, grew up in Texas, and then came back. For some reason, my mom thought Ohio was like the bee's knees. So we moved back to Ohio, and I've been here ever since. But, it's cool. It has its moments. But other than that, I mean, it just absolutely, positively sucks.
How do y'all feel about Dave Chappelle repping Ohio as hard as he does?
Oh, people fucking love it. But he live in, like, it's outside of Columbus, Dayton area, which is like 2 hours from where I live. But I mean, it's big for, I guess, tourist attractions, you know. So I mean, we ain't got much to claim.
That's how I feel about DC. Like, I remember being a kid and, like, watching game shows, and the grand prize would be like an all expense paid trip to Washington DC, and I'm like, man, for the fuck what? Like, why would you ever come out? Like, that shit used to baffle me. Like, who would want to come here? Like, for what?
I asked the same thing. Cause, like, now I live in Canton, so they got the Hall of Fame. And that's the next big tourist attraction here. You got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is in Cleveland, which is like an hour away, which I've never been. I've been to the Hall of Fame twice. But after you walk around, it's like, you've seen everything. Yeah. So now they're trying to make it like in the tourist attraction. They got a Ferris wheel and a water park coming and restaurants and hotels and stuff. They're really trying to jazz it up for people outside of Ohio.
So a whole lot of shit that got nothing to do with football or rock and roll.
With nothing at all. It's just, it's what is going to get them to the Hall of Fame, but I don't know. If you're not a football fan, then you're just coming for the outside stuff. So the way I pictured it is like the husband's going to the Hall of Fame, the wife and kids be at the hotel all weekend, but everything's right there, so you ain't got to worry about nobody getting lost.
Man, I got to ask you this one too. I know you don't, we had the conversation during the record book March. I know you don't fuck with grits at all, so I'm not going to ask you about the whole cream cheese situation with Raw. That's blasphemous.
Oh, man. Yeah, I heard some.
But is there
people
a...
people treat grits. It's weird.
it's religious, man. Like, my ex-wife, we both from, like, the D.C. area, but I'm more from, like, I'm closer to D.C., and she's, like, further up in Maryland, and she put sugar on her grits, and that's what, like, my biggest fear now that we we separated and we doing this co-parenting thing, is that if I don't get to my daughter first on the grits situation, she gonna teach her that bullshit. Like, she gonna teach her to put sugar on her grits, and that's just not it's not cool. It's not appropriate at all. Like, that's, it's not the way to live. Is there any like Ohio food tradition that might be on par with that? Is there something y'all debate seriously, or just some weird like cream cheese on grits type shit that y'all do up there?
Not that I can think of, because I don't really eat what everybody around here eat. Like, people swear by seafood and all that shit. I'm trying to think, like, is there anything these weird motherfuckers eat? Coney dogs. Like, they are big on Coney dogs, and they like every, and also no, pastrami sandwiches, some kind of something on rye, some weird ass sandwich that they be having debates about up in Cleveland. Some place called Slimans makes some
Slimans.
Weird corn beef. That's corn what beef. It's a corn beef sandwich. Yeah, corn and beef don't even sound like they go together.
That's what I was gonna say. I can't get past the name. Like, you couldn't say, "Hey, you want some corned beef?" And I'd be like, "That sounds like something I might want." Like, it's, no, it's, don't call it something else.
Weird lunch meat or some shit. I've never had one, and I'm cool. They put like sauerkraut on there, and
yeah, just all words,
jelly or some bullshit.
All words that just don't. There's no way you could go ask together. Me. Yeah, you can't say you want some corned beef with sauerkraut on it. And I'd be like, man, those. That phrase you just
on
said.
On rye bread and some kind of weird cheese.
Nah, I'm like, that phrase you just said doesn't sound delicious at all. No, I don't want that, sir. Like, you.
No, it doesn't at all. And I'm never going to do it. Like, they couldn't pay me. And there's nothing about it that sounds appealing. It's just weird. And people be up there swearing by it like it's the best thing ever. And I just was like, nah, I'm good, chief. I'm not. Not eat none of that bullshit. They get caught up in that.
The Coney dogs, do they call them glizzies out there? I know they say in the DMV originated the whole glizzy thing. And as a person from the area, like, I don't ever remember anybody ever saying that shit. And now, like, it won't go away. Is that a thing in Ohio?
The kids say it. You know, the old folks don't know what it is.
Right. Yeah, it took me a minute.
Yeah, I didn't know what they was talking about. I thought it was a gun for a minute, man. I was like, wait, you talking about a hot dog? Nah, man, glizzy. I was like, yeah, nah, I'm not calling no fucking hot dog no glizzy. That sound weird as fuck.
Yeah, just call it a hot dog. That sound, I don't know if anybody does. I just, again, like I said, like 99% of the stuff I see these days is just like annoying to me. I either don't understand it or can't relate to it, and just, I'd be so mad looking at social media these days. Like, It's just crazy. If there's something you could change about social media, what would it be for you?
Fucking spam. Them and the Illuminati, the Pakistani. I can get your podcast up to 5,000 downloads.
Yeah.
The sex bots. Just the fake people in general. Like, you should have to pay, not pay, you should have to, there's some verification that should be real, that only human beings should be able to pass.
Yeah, we should only be socializing with other humans.
Yeah, I don't want to talk to a fucking robot.
The podcast promoters kill me. Like, I don't know if anybody, is anybody, like, taking them deals? Like, are they just don't care about failure?
Yeah,
They just go. But well, I don't know if this has happened to you. I got this recently. I started getting friend requests on Facebook from, like, you know, these dudes that I know I don't know. But I'm figuring, you know, I do the podcast. Maybe they heard the podcast. Maybe they want to connect that way. And they look like, you know, Utah white boys. And I was like, I don't know what it is in my podcast that they would relate to. But okay, I'm accepting these friend requests. And then they started messaging me. They was Mormons, and they was like, you know, trying to hit me with the, have you heard the message of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
No, I guess that's the new scam.
They moving on to social media. Like, I didn't know it was that serious. Just go back to the door to door so I could pretend not to be home. Like, don't.
Yeah, I guess they was like, you know what? You can't fake not being online, buddy.
But I can just, not reply to you at all. Block, unfriend.
True.
You know.
Oh, I'm blocking all of them. But I had one dude hit me up. I'm talking about, what's your favorite sports car? And I'm like, look normal, innocent, look innocent profile. And I'm like, I don't know, I don't have one. It's like, well, the Illuminati can get you whatever you like. And I'm like, come on, dog. Why, man?
Oh, man.
Like, these motherfuckers come in normal as fuck nowadays.
That's a hell of a segue right there. Like, you got a favorite sports car? Yeah, the Illuminati. Sell your soul, yeah, and I'll get you whatever you want. You want that Corvette?
I'm like, I don't think y'all can afford me. He's like, but we can try. I was like, come on, man. Like, what the fuck? You think you're thirsty for souls that bad? Like,
yeah, it's crazy out here, man. So, yeah, I'm trying to be the change that I want to see and do something more positive. Not have it squeaky clean and kumbaya. I had Raw on here, and he asked me if he could curse. And I was offended. Like, god damn, like, what? What image am I putting off? Like, I'm trying to be nice, but I'm not. I'm saying I'm not that kind of nice. But yeah, that's what I'm trying to do. So I'm trying to, like I said, you know, shine light, you know, on brothers like yourself. Not that you need anybody to shine light on you. You're doing well enough on your own. But you know, I want to make sure that I make my contribution to the.
So you gotta be careful saying that, because when people know you and they be like, oh, I ain't seen this shit, but people saying he doing it big out here. They come asking for money. I'm broke. Don't ask me for shit.
Yeah, I got that problem.
My mom hit me with that one day. She was like, hey, baby, I just got done watching the show. Y'all crazy. You got $10. Nah, mom, broke. You should have led with that. Don't try to bump me up.
Nah, yeah, I got that problem.
Great show. You guys are amazing.
I think I'm doing too well at making it look like the show is doing something. Like, people see the graphics, they see me posting every week, they see the merch, and they think something's popping. I am still spending more to produce this thing that I am bringing in. This is a labor of love. I am not podcasting. It's not a quick come up. Like, fuck what you heard.
Fully understand that.
Nah, they don't get it at all.
It was like, oh man, I see you giving away movies, man. Let me hold some money. I was like, nigga, first of all, I got a sponsor. They gave me free movie codes. I don't get to keep none of the movies. I ain't met none of those stars or none of that.
I ain't getting no points on the back
end.
Just
the middle man.
Nah, it works.
Yeah. If they do well, I don't get a percentage. Right. Oh, this is for free. I'm free publicity. But I don't mind it because, you know, it's going to pay off one day. They're going to be like, okay, it's hard work. He did it for free. Now let's pay him for his time.
Yeah, man. It's all a grind. I always tell people, the dude that made the Power Rangers, he shopped that idea for 8 years before Fox picked it up. So for 8 years, he had people slamming doors in his face and laughing at him, and he ain't give up.
And them same motherfuckers.
It's just like, I'm 6 years in. I'm giving myself 8 years. I'm 6 years in. Like, if he could do it, I can hold out for 2 more years. But, you know.
Keep going. Like, I like the people who tell me no. Because, like, there's people at my school. Well, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm starting a podcast. And it was like, you? Starting a podcast. You sure you want to do that? Like, I mean, you're nice and all, you know, but you're a little out there. You're a little, and they didn't want to say controversial, but they, you know, how white people were like, you have a wide range. Is there a nice way of telling you that you not shoppable at the moment? But them same people came to me about doing a podcasting seminar at the school.
Oh man, dope.
Repost my stuff every now and then when they would see the safe stuff. But it's like, I'm not doing anything for y'all. Like, I'm not changing to join what y'all got going on. Just because you don't like it, somebody else will.
I want to ask you this last question, because you mentioned going to school for television broadcasting, television and radio broadcasting.
Yeah, TV and radio.
TV and radio. Yep. I remember, you know, when I was making the decision to go to college, like, I majored in biomedical engineering. And not because I had passion for biomedical engineering, but because it sounded good as for whenever I told anybody, oh, I'm majoring in biomedical engineering. They were like, oh, shit, you know. And then I got to school and they had a TV and radio broadcasting sort of thing. And I ended up getting I volunteered for like the student radio and had a radio show, and I realized like I really like this. But growing up, like I never thought of that as a career. Like I don't think, you know, some people know that anything you see somebody doing is a career, is a vocation. Mm-hmm. You can go do that. Like what got you into going to school for TV broadcasting, and what can you tell people about, like, you know, what that is when you're in school for it?
I've always been a character my whole life. So I either wanted to be on TV or near or on radio. Like I when I graduated school in 20-some-odd-2, you know, I was like, I'm gonna go to school. So Akron U has a journalism program, like media for radio. But of course, when you're 18 and fresh out of school, school ain't the only thing on your mind.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fresh asses out there in the world. And I was like, this ain't high school booty no more at all. So, but it took me like 16 years before I finally actually stopped procrastinating and do it. And to tell you the truth, I was driving my work truck, of course, because that's where most of the shit happens. And on radio, there's a guy who went to the school I went to. His name was Emmett Golden. He was on ESPN 850.
Right.
And he always used to die a live reading and start out with, come on down to Ohio Media School where you can be. And then he'd go through his whole spiel. And I just, every time, it felt like it was getting more like, you ain't doing shit with your life. Come on down to Ohio Media School and get some of this education. So that's really what was like, you know what? I finally got to do it. Like, I felt like he was talking to me.
Yeah. That's dope. That
I finally did it. So what happens is they teach you pretty much everything behind the scenes, in front of the camera, on air, off air, how to do live reads, how to make commercials. Like I wrote my like commercials I do on my show. I wrote myself.
Nice.
And then they teach you production. They have a podcast class, but it's like a month. They don't really teach you shit there. So granted, again, I learned more outside of there by myself, but it's actually a dope program. They got one in Colorado, Miami, and Illinois.
The Everest College style commercials actually was getting through to somebody. Like, you ain't doing shit with your life.
Yeah, man, because I felt like he was talking to me every time he did the commercial, and it was like 2 times a day. And I was just like, you know what? I'm tired of this nigga yelling at me. I probably should have turned the radio down, but it was already up, so...
That's what's up. Yeah, I wish I would have had some, you know, I wish I'd have had more time. Like, I didn't feel like I had to go to school and know what I wanted to do the day I got there. Like, I could just get there and, you know, just see what was available, see what was out there, and then make a decision after that. Yeah, I did like a semester at that biomed, and then I came back home. it's been IT ever since. Yeah, easy money.
Yeah. I knew I kind of wanted to be on radio. Cause I always loved music. I used to do like fake radio stations at the house. You know what I mean? Turn music on and take fake requests and call-ins from callers and shit. Like I was animated as a kid. Like I said, big imagination. So I used to get bored. And when I get bored, I start doing stupid shit.
Yeah.
But that's also what got me where I'm at. Cause it's like all the fake ads and I got a Kanye West workout plan, Chef Chocolate Salty Balls Energy. Like, you know, so these are all things that Rick's Chitlins. So these are all things just like being bored and having an overactive imagination that benefit me in the podcast because you can do anything.
Yeah.
You know, there's no limitations on how big you can go on a podcast. So I just be like, fuck it. If I can think of it, I'm going to do it.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up, man. And again, man, I appreciate you, you know, taking your time out to come chill with me today. I know you got a lot going on. What do the people need to look out for in terms of you? Like, what's the next steps for What the Shit in DC?
End of the season at the end of this month. This month we're doing our Unsung Black Heroes. So you want to tune in for that because it's a series where every black history, I talk about those black people who aren't being praised, you know, aren't, you know, making history, but still should be celebrated. So last week it was Thaddeus Smooth D. Wilson. He was the inventor of the Stroh Slope.
Oh, okay.
So everybody who do the Stroh Slope, you should be thanking Thaddeus. Also, Lamont Jones. First nigga to ask for $10 till Friday and never pay it back. I'm telling you, these people deserve to be talked about.
It's Black history.
Black history. Unsung heroes, man. But no, in July, like I said, we're going to Roku Channel 82. I'm also doing a 4C event in July. So July is going to be very busy. The 4C event is a conference that I'm getting off the ground. It stands for Conference for Content Creators of Color.
Nice.
And basically, I behind that, that is just like the March for the Record Book, but everybody in person. You know, learning from each other with different workshops, tables, hopefully some people recording live, a panel on stage doing questions and answers and talking about different things about getting started. I want to have businesses there so we can learn how, what businesses are looking for when they're looking to sponsor or advertisement and media. And also part of the proceeds of this event is going to, Be Youthfully Weirdo, which is a program in Massillon that does things for little girls, like, you know, taking them to parks and doing different events, libraries. They want to start a podcasting thing. But it's just every year, hopefully, there will be a different charity or group that we're giving proceeds to.
Nice, man.
So, I mean, that's pretty much it.
I say again, I admire people like you that they can have those grand ideas and not just have the idea, but actually start taking the steps to pull them off and do big things. Because, you know, the only thing separating you from the people doing you what you want to do is that they're doing it. So, you know, just got to make the decision to press play and go.
Porch, man.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, because, like, you're either going to fail or you're not. They're either going to tell you yes or no.
Yeah.
It's two options.
You know, and what's a no? It ain't. It's really.
And even if they tell me no, I'll just say fucking and go do it on my own.
Facts. That's the way to go. But man, again, I appreciate you. I ain't gonna hold you. I guess I gotta do my quick calls to action. It still is hoodie season. It's a coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN. We'll get you 20% off your entire order at the whatistws.com merch store. I got lots of hoodies in there, long sleeve shirts, hats, whatever. We got the What Is Love t-shirts. I don't know if this is going to drop before Valentine's Day, but regardless, if it's Valentine's Day or not, you can show some love to somebody. So please hit up the store, you know, check out the merch, get something if you feel so inclined, you know, help me take Chef Elise to Disneyland or something like that. But with that being said, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light, and know this, if you know nothing else, ain't nothing to it but to do it. Go ahead and hop off the porch, and I love you.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. I gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later. Love.